Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And this is Maze and Happy Feelings. Good morning, family.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I got a call this morning and it just took me back because one of our wonderful, wonderful long-time listeners, we never really heard her voice, passed away yesterday. So I'm just sitting here going, what? And so I tell you, her name was Belinda Gordon. She was from North Carolina. She's actually been on the line. Probably around when the second year that we started, Belinda been on the line since she's been on the line since a good 9 years, 8, 9 years. She passed away yesterday. And I just got that text this morning, right here, right now, when I got ready, put together to play the music. I just was sitting here going, wow. I just talked to her 2 days ago. She was enjoying the call this week, and she was saying how much of a blessing it had been to her. Mark being a blessing, she wanted to start talking to Mark about her cancer. And I didn't even know. I knew she had kidney problems, but I didn't know until the other day she had cancer. So it's just, you know, you just don't know when the last time you're going to be speaking to someone. And I try to make sure I let people know how much I really care and really appreciate their presence in my life. And I hope that I let her know that I appreciated Belinda's presence in my life. And it's interesting, she lives in North Carolina, and that 3 months I was there, I should have made time to meet her. And I've never physically met her, but have been talking to her for 9 years over the years. I just want to send lots of light and love into Belinda Gordon's family this morning and friends. And to all of us remembering Belinda Gordon and her love energy, that she supported the love journey through donations, through prayers. She said this line is what inspired her through her father's passing away. And then when they diagnosed her with something going on with her kidneys, but she had to start going to dialysis and then through her cancer journey. She said this love journey line was her inspiration every morning to keep fighting through each day. I tell you, you just never know how you land in other people's space. Her brother texted me this morning to say thank you for extending his sister's life because he knows that this line right here was keeping her going, what kept her going, and what kept her through her process. So I guess if nothing else, if we haven't been a blessing to anybody, we were a blessing to Belinda Gordon family. So today I just want to dedicate this show to our loving sister, Miss Belinda Gordon. Family, you tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, your daily lover. I am your daily lover. And we're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And I'm just simply grateful, family. Just grateful. Just so grateful. And as we turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that great spirit that is known by many, many, many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present. Just simply knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so right now, I want you to become very intentional about the breath. Taking in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of 8, and then releasing the breath. And so right now, family, I want you to be intentional about the breath, because sometimes we just simply forget to breathe. And there's power, family, in the breath. Do know that I am God, just breathe that. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Just breathe, family. Just breathe. And release. Let's do it again. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am, that I am God. Let's do it again, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. And there's power in the breath. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we hear Ayana, as we call forth the energy of forgiveness, and as we remember the power and release the energy that it is to forgive, family, to simply let go and allow the lesson to be a blessing, knowing that there's power and magnetic energy in just simply forgetting. Let's forgive, family.
Day 14, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself for judging my partner and ex-partner. Dear God, once again, I lay my weapons down. This time, I really mean it. This time, I really open my heart. This time, I really surrender my hurts and judgments. This time, I ask for and open myself to know the part of me that is being revealed in the behavior of my partner and my ex-partner. I ask to know and see it. I ask to acknowledge and heal it. I forgive myself for making this so hard on myself and for blaming someone else for the pain I have endured. I let it be, and so it is.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Divine Mother, Father, God, for this opportunity to come together in one mind and one spirit. As we call forth the forces of all that is in this universe, God, calling forth your legion of angels, your ascended masters, your master guides, spirit guides, and our ancestors, our known and unknown ancestors, as we stand on the shoulders of those who have walked this journey before us, we come together in this one mind, God, recognizing that this is a temporal space but also knowing that there's no separation in the spirit. Giving thanks for those who have left the planet, who stand on us, around us to download information as we continue to be the dream of our ancestors. We just thank you, God, for this opportunity right now to come together in one mind, in one love, asking for a fresh anointing on this day, God. Asking you to bring forth a fresh anointing, Father God. Asking you to nourish our soul, Mother God. Asking you to allow the souls of our goals to come forth on this day, Holy Spirit. Thanking you for your legion of angels that are always near us to assist us. Command this morning right now, God. As we command our day to come into assignment in your will and purpose for our lives. As we command our morning this morning, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we declare over this day that we will be under your covering and your anointing. We command that this morning we take hold of the ends of this earth and nothing but you shall come forth, as we shall have dominion over all things that come our way on this day. We shall operate in our authority, our mastery. Make the outgoings of the morning to rejoice, God, as we receive your love and kindness each and every morning, God, as we release the beauty of your holiness from the womb of this morning, God. We let your light break forth in our life as this morning unfolds, Holy Spirit. Let your judgments come upon, God, come, Holy Spirit. We pray that you will come as the rain. Rain down on us your blessings, God. We pray your very essence be made manifest in us as is all around us, because it was love that woke us up this morning. And as you wake us up this morning, as we waken our ear to hear your melodic, beautiful voice, God, as we ask you to bless and anoint our eyes this morning to not only see, but see with spiritual 20/20 vision, God, that our thoughts will be your thoughts. Our words will be your words as we come into agreement with the heavens to declare our glory over our life, God, recognizing the chief angels that are all around us right now, that this is an appointed time that have been declared by the heavens for us to be here, that we will give birth to the will of you, Holy Spirit, right here, right now, God, that you shall come through us right now, God, and speak your words, Holy Spirit. That you will come through this call this morning and speak to somebody's mind, God. As your Holy Spirit and your prayers will reign and be dispatched upon this earth and do your will, God, we will do your will, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and let your will be dispatched upon this holy earth right here. And that you will touch each and every person under the sound of my voice this morning. As we command the earth to get in place to receive heavenly instructions on your behalf, God, we ask you to come, Holy Spirit. As we command all the elements of creation to heed and obey, God, we ask you to come, Holy Spirit. As we praise with sounds and the day breaks, the earth shall yield to her increase unto us. Right now, God, as we declare the first light has come, that the first fruit of our morning is holy and the entire day is holy, God. We prophesy the will of you, Holy Spirit, to the morning, to the day spring, God. We know its place in our day, God. We declare that the first light will be shaken with your blessings, God. We declare it, decree it in the name of Jesus, in the matchless name of Jesus, God. asking that your angels are descending upon us right now. According to your words, we speak, God. Whatever is bound or loose on earth is already bound or loose in heaven, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask you right now for revelation, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, healing right now upon your earth, God. Deliverance, salvation, peace, joy, relationships, God. Bless our finances, promotions, resources. Holy Spirit, come. Anything that has been blocked right now, let it be loose unto us right now, because we are contagiously blessed right now, God, as we command this morning to capture our day, God, recognizing that the people of you have taken authority over the watch of this day, God. We bless the spiritual airways, highways, God, the atmosphere, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, the atmosphere of the airways that is over us right now, God, we ask to be blessed right now, each and every person under the sound of my voice, that their atmosphere of their airways will be blessed, God, that their family's atmosphere will be blessed, God, their ministry, their neighborhood, their city, the nation, the world is producing a new climate, and that new climate is love, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. That new climate is constructing a lovely love stronghold right now, God, upon the planet right now. Thanking you for those who are here right now, conducive to the agenda of the kingdom of love. That we will release anything that is in the atmosphere right now, God. That we come together in this one mind right now, God, as we come together in agreement right now, God, blessing our land right now, God, blessing the soil right now, God, blessing each and every house on this planet, block by block. We are blessing it right now because we will no longer accept just anything and everything, God. We declare that the kingdom of love, God, has come and the will of you will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And as the sun rises, let it shine favorably around your people right now, God. We call forth your daily destiny upon our portion. As we ride the wings of the morning in a new day of victory, come, Holy Spirit. And let the dominion over all the elements and the work of our hands be so anointed this morning, God, that everything we touch, Holy Spirit, not only turn to gold, but platinum gold. Father, Mother, God, that everywhere we tread our feet, God, anoint our feet shall be upon holy land, God. As we decree and declare a new day, a new season, a fresh anointing, that the ingredients of our destiny, our programming to our days, years, and seasons, that we bind up anything that has kept us from the truth, that we are all that you are right now, that we are all that God is. Thank God. Anything that is not of you right now, God, we declare, God. And we dethrone it right now, God. And we dismantled it and disintegrated it into the energy of love. I declare right now that nothing shall have an influence over our days but love, Holy Spirit. Nothing shall have influence over our days but love, God. That my prayers in this right now moment would disrupt any plan that is not of you right now, God. That it would disrupt any thoughts of darkness, any thoughts of lack, any thoughts of not good enough, Holy Spirit, any thoughts of not worthy enough, God. We have victory over every thought this morning, God, that our day shall prosper in the thought that we are all that God is, and we shall be exceedingly glad in this day, God, as we declare in Ephesians 3:20 morning, God, and in Ephesians 3:20 day, more than we could ever think, ask, or imagine, that shall come upon us, God. And any prayer that needs to be prayed, and anybody that needs to be prayed for that has not been spoken in this prayer, God, I ask you to let it be done, Holy Spirit, and speak through my words right now, God. I ask you to remove me from myself, Holy Spirit, and let it transcend into the atmosphere, Holy Spirit, that every word I speak this morning, God, shall be done in the name, in the nature, and in the consciousness of love, that this prayer shall go forth and speak to somebody's mind this morning, God. Somebody came because they needed to hear you this morning, God. Somebody came this morning because they needed to hear from you. Speak to somebody's mind. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and speak to somebody's heart. And I just come before you right now, God, as I ask that every word I spoke, God, and every meditation of my heart, God, was so acceptable into the beloved I am present. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless somebody this morning, God. I ask you to come and bless somebody's mind this morning, God, as we come together in the one spirit, God, sending love energy into Belinda the Gordon's family, God, and her friends, as we will continue to celebrate her life, her perseverance, her never give up attitude, and her willingness to serve you even through the pain, even through the trials. She never gave up on you, Holy Spirit. And so in this right now moment, we take away from the legacy of her life to keep our minds stayed on you, Holy Spirit. To keep our minds stayed on you, God. To keep our minds stayed in the heavenly realms as we speak from the realm of spirit. We give thanks for the life, the love, and the legacy of Miss Belinda Gordon. And so today, fam, I give thanks in the mighty matchless name of love for each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I thank you for each and every person who has ever been to this life. I thank you for each and every person who consistently come and maybe never even speak a word. But I give thanks for those who don't come but had a mind to come. I give thanks for those who keep us lifted in prayer. I give thanks for those who find it in their heart to bless the love journey with their finances, God. And I ask you to, right now, God, to take those financial blessings that they give right now, God, and I ask you to return it to them a billionfold, God, that every dime, every dollar, every penny, everything they've ever sent, God, that you will return it to them right now a billionfold. God, I thank you for those who find it in their heart for to send a financial blessing. I thank you for those who find it in their heart to just come and be in the space, God, and keep it lifted, God. I thank you right now, God, for the expansion of the love journey as you expand our territory, as you expand those who come and grow into their own spaces, God. Every guest speaker who calls and say, I want to come and be on your radio show, who call or who I may call, I thank you for those guests who have blessed our souls. And so in this right now, Mother God, I send this prayer to you, knowing that there is not one word that will return void. And so in the name and nature of love, I say, Ashe, Ashe. And so it is. Ashe, 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 family. And so as we move through today's show, I just want to let you know that we will be dedicating this show to Belinda Gordon. Yesterday was her last day on this line. Physically, she left the planet not too long after she got off the call yesterday. And it was a real interesting process, because it was a healing call. And she called to tell me how much she enjoyed the guest speaker yesterday and how when she was hearing Amir and her exchange, the healing energy, how it blessed her soul. So when I imagined that she left the planet, she left in peace, family. And so today we dedicate our show to Belinda Gordon, and we know that God is all there is. And so today, family, you've tuned in to the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And when we come back, I'll be reading from The Science of the Mind. And this is Andre Crouch. I'll be thinking of you. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. This is the science of the mind. Today's science of the mind, which is Thursday, July 5th, 2018, free to a good home. Emma Fox once said, the story of your life is really the story of the relations between yourself and God. The Science of the Mind book reads on page 154, every day, every hour, we are meeting the eternal realities of life in such a degree as we cooperate with those eternal realities in love, in peace, and in wisdom and in joy, believing and receiving, we are automatically blessed. You see, we've all heard the expression, the best things in life are free. And it's true. If you ever spent a day hiking a snow-capped mountain or even an evening stumbling with the fur ball of unconditional love, have you ever held a newborn baby or held hands with the one you love under a moonlight, a full moonlight by a vast body of water? Have you ever experienced the generosity experience of spirit? Yet most of us have only begun to tap the universe's bounty. It isn't limited to exquisite expressions of nature or loving encounters with family, pets. It also includes vibrant good health, lavish abundance, empowering relationships, and so on to infinity and beyond, literally. Why are we living a limited life in the midst of unlimited possibilities? Let me say that again. Why are we living a limited life in the midst of unlimited possibility? Is everything God has to offer really free, or is there some fine print we're missing? Oh, I need to stop right there. Why are we living a limited life in the midst of unlimited possibility? Is everything God has to offer really free, or is there some fine print we're missing? Oh, my God, I used to think I was missing a fine print. I used to think that God must have sent me to this planet and it was a cruel trick. And I told God, you know what? I want you to stop the world and let me off. Because I felt like life was a cruel trick. It just didn't make sense to me. How come I can't have my cake and eat it too? That just didn't make sense, especially a big, beautiful chocolate cake. Oh, my God. What you mean you're going to put this chocolate cake in front of me and I can't eat it? It didn't make sense to me. It just didn't make sense. God, just stop the world. Let me off. Because, you know, I don't like to play these kind of games. You know what? Just stop the world, I thought. So when we think about it, is everything God has to offer really free? Is there some fine print we're missing? Yes, yes. You know what? It is. The gifts of spirit are indeed free to a good home, a place where they can thrive and multiply. It's in a consciousness of love, joy, and acceptance, and compassion, and peace is the home that attracts the best spirit has to offer. See, creating that perfect home requires some forethought. You need to start with a good foundation, a working relationship with God. Nurturing that relationship through prayer, meditation, and focused study prepares you for the construction phase. Setting conscious intentions and partnering with spirit in all things completes the building process, and remaining open to divine guidance adds the finishing touches. But most importantly, a grateful heart. Come on, Holy Spirit. You see, a grateful heart keeps that home in prime condition. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. It's just simply saying thank you, God. It's one of the highest forms of prayer. Just simply getting into gratitude, knowing that there's nothing but God, that all source and everything that is happening to us is really happening for us, because the universe loves us so much that it only wants the best, and it's constantly nudging us and pushing us and pushing us, saying, no, 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 I want the best for you. But do we trust, come on somebody, do we trust that what the universe has for us is absolutely perfect in its own divine way? The affirmation says, I am the living expression of the best life has to offer. Come on somebody, I am the living expression of the best life has to offer. I am open, receptive, and grateful, and my abundant life reflects the joy in my heart. Woo! Come on, let's affirm it again. I am the living expression of the best life has to offer. I am open,
receptive and grateful. And my abundant life reflects the joy in my heart. Somebody, family, I am the living expression of the best life has to offer. I am open, receptive, and grateful. And my abundant life reflects the joy in my heart. I am the living expression of the best life has to offer. I am open, receptive, and grateful, and my abundant life reflects the joy in my heart. Come on, family. Y'all, that reminds me of the song. Y'all remember when we used to go to Sunday school? Come on, somebody. Remember we used to sing, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart today. Some, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. See, I grew up in the sanctified church, honey. And we had to sing that song. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart today. Whew, I tell you, God is amazing, family. God is amazing. You see, what I come to understand in life is just really about being present. It's about being present, family. In a time when we're so inundated with electronics, Facebooking, FaceTiming, and being seen on and Instagramming, that we forget sometimes to just simply be present. And the one thing I love about the technology today, with being able to record Facebook Live and all the beautiful things we have, we get to document our beautiful journey. But I want to remind us as we move through this life today, don't forget to be present. And no matter what's happening in your life, I want to remind you that you're being prepared for even greater things. I call them divine storms. And as we move through our divine storms, I call them our moments in your life when you feel like the divine, the universe is against you, nothing is going well, you question everything and maybe even say something like, why is this happening to me? But what I come to find is that moments like this are powerful opportunities to grow, to expand, and to allow the universe to use us, because it's in that moment when we just don't know, when we just absolutely sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we absolutely surrender, that we grow and expand and can be used. See, the divine storms are wake-up calls. I like to say the divine storms shaking us to awaken us. They're not ushering us in the end, but rather clearing space for what's trying to be born new in our life. But we tend to try to interrupt the process because we try to hang on to how it was. We try to hang on to how it used to be. And I need to raise my hand because I was one of those people. I can't tell you how many times God told me to get rid of all the stuff that had to do with my old job. And I would throw half the stuff away and say, well, I might need this again. Now, every time I would clean that desk out and throw that stuff half away, I never threw 100% of it away because I kept feeling like maybe I would do what I used to do. But God was calling me into a new space. God was calling me higher. My soul was yearning, but my physical self kept being disobedient because I kept wanting to hold on to yesterday. You see, I kept wanting to move through life like Moses. You know, God told Moses to speak to the rock, but he was striking the rock because he was trying to do it the way he used to do it, you know? Our default language is the way we used to do it. And I would get caught up in the idea, oh, I need to go get me a job. I need to go do it the way I used to do it. You know what I'm saying? I know that there's a way, but God was calling me higher. God wanted me to have bigger faith, and God wanted me to have bigger dreams, and God wanted me. But I kept saying, but God, I think I need a job. And I kept getting in that fear space because I kept wanting to strike the rock instead of to speak to the rock, because I was in fear that I wouldn't be able to live the way I was accustomed to living. Because I wanted to do it the way, you see, but I was being cultivated and called to a higher space. But I kept saying, but God, see, I know how to make six figures this way. And God said, but I can make more figures than that if you just keep following my path. And sometimes I didn't see a dollar or a dime. Sometimes I didn't even know what was going to happen that day. But God never failed me, because when I was down to nothing, God was still up to something and stirring up stuff. And I still wanted to do it the old way because I was in fear. And I'm not telling you that I'm not even still growing out of that space, because I had a hard work consciousness, and God was calling me out of that hard work consciousness. God was calling me to the place where I could master my being on this planet. And then things will be drawn unto me, because Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye the kingdom of God. And I remember sitting in that bed saying, God, this is a cruel trick. I don't want to play this game no more. Stop the world and let me off. What is it that I'm not doing right? I'm doing everything that I thought I was supposed to be doing, paying my tithes, doing this, 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 this. And I said, what is this kingdom of God that you keep talking about? And matter of fact, who is God? And God said, who is God? I said, me? I'm supposed to seek me as the kingdom of God. And God said, yes, that's who the kingdom of God is. Well, what does that really mean, God? What does that mean, God? That means when you seek yourself, master self, and all his righteousness. What does all his righteousness mean, Holy Spirit? And Holy Spirit divinely said to me, all of your gifts and your talents. So my job was to master me and all the gifts and talents, because what the word says is that your gifts and talents will make room for you and place you before great people. And then I will draw all things unto you. What does that mean? Because when I got first laid off from that job, you see, God told me. He took me right to the scripture. I'll give you a house you didn't build, land you didn't toil. I was like, well, what does that really mean, God? Because faith without works is dead. That's what I was taught. Faith without works, that means I got to get up to and go to a job every day and make some money if I want to eat. God said, you ain't got to get up and go to no job if you want to eat. I said, I'll give you a house you didn't build. Well, God, I need to understand how to do that. It took me a journey to get to that space. I'm not saying I'm 100% there, but I understand differently now. My job is to master myself. That's why Jim Rohn kept saying if a person will work on themselves like they work a job, in 5 years, he guarantees you'll be a millionaire. I didn't understand what he meant by that. You see, it took me in my divine storm to wake me up, to recognize that my divine storm wasn't ushering me to the end, but rather clearing the space what was trying to be born in my life, which was the new revised presence of me as God on the planet. You see, but I kept trying to interrupt the process because I kept trying to hang on with what was and how fear kept me wanting to be how it used to be. And even worse, perhaps slipping to the assuming worse instead of preparing for a miracle. Come on, Holy Spirit. I was preparing for a crisis. Come on. Why did we save money for a rainy day? What was I got to cut this off and I got to do this, because I was contracting instead of expanding. Because the first thing that happens when money flow is cut in a way that we know it to be, because that was just a money flow that God had given me. That was a channel that God had given me, but that wasn't my source. And even though I said in my mind and on this phone that God is the source of my unlimited supply and everything and everybody prospers me now, God is the source of my unlimited supply everything and everybody prospers me now. God is the source. And every morning getting up saying, God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. God is the source of my unlimited supply. And guess what? In that process, I had to prove, because also my prayers, don't let me get on this phone and let me talk the talk, but let me walk the walk. Oh, my God. Sometimes you better be careful what you pray for. You better be careful what you pray for, because the moment I realized that I was asking God to let my walk be my walk, my talk, I didn't know that I wasn't really walking in the idea that God was my source, because when my job was laid us off because we didn't get any more contracts, and I was laying in that bed saying, how am I going to pay this Mercedes condo? How am I going to pay these mortgages? How am I going to pay these bills? And I said, well, I thought you said I was your source. And I had just cut a deal with the IRS. God said, I thought you said I was your source. God did say that, God. I had to get up, and I didn't know what that would look like. But the one thing I learned for sure, and two things for certain, I was laying in that bed, and I remember asking God, what is faith? How can I have more faith, God? Because at the time, I wasn't even ready for belief. I just needed enough just to make it through. And God said faith was trusting in the process unknown. Bam. Even though I couldn't see my way, even though I didn't know a way, I had to trust in the process of the unknown. Whew. It was a scary ride. It was scary. I was afraid, and I didn't know. But let me just tell you what I found out on that ride. I got something to tell you. Many days I didn't know. But I remember my first miracle after my laid off and didn't know how I was going to pay. But see, God is so good to me. Let me just tell y'all. I wasn't supposed to get a dime on unemployment because somehow our employer had changed us from W-2 to 1099. And because I was ignorant to the process of what it meant to be a 1099 versus, because I had always been a W-2 employee, it didn't mean nothing to me. It just meant I was getting more of my money, right? I wasn't supposed to get no unemployment. But I went and got some unemployment, let me just tell you. So my unemployment didn't kick in right away, because they kept denying me. The Spirit kept saying, go back and apply anyway, or we appeal it anyway. I was like, appeal it. So I appealed. Because claiming, which was the truth, I didn't really understand what it meant at that time to be a 1099 employee. When they changed us over because she was having problems with whatever she was having problems with, it didn't occur to me that there was something different I must do in my tax records. I just knew I was getting more of my money. So that's how I looked at it, right? So it took me a long time for my unemployment to kick in. But let me just tell you how good God is. So I'm driving down the street thinking, Holy Spirit, my Mercedes car note is due today. Matter of fact, I got to pay. I had just made an offer in compromise with the IRS, and I got to pay this first payment in the morning. And if I don't, they're going to take me back to that $50,000 big deal. See, I done got it down lower to less than 10%. And all I got to do is pay these four payments, and then I'm done, and I don't got nothing else, right? But let me just tell you, I didn't know how I was going to pay it. It was due that day. I was just sitting there looking, driving down the street, thinking. I get a call from a girlfriend of mine, says, did you see what Tammy put on Facebook about you? At that time, I didn't even really look at Facebook. You know, Love Journey made me look at Facebook and start doing more Facebooking because I didn't even look at it. I said, no. She said, girl, you got to get on there and see what she said. Now, did I go on there and see what she said? Absolutely not. But she said, this is what she said. This is me paraphrasing. She said, girl, she called. Oprah was leaving Channel 7, and she was closing down. It was that day. She said, Oprah is gone, but we still got Janine. Something to that effect. She was comparing me to Oprah, saying that they still had me. I thought, wow, that's really nice. So I called Tammy. I didn't even look at the Facebook. I called Tammy, and I said, Tammy, oh, man, I heard, you know, blah, blah. Thank you for such kind words. She said, you've been on my mind. I want you to stop by here. I said, okay. So I stopped by her daycare. She owns, like, 4 daycares. And I go by her store. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to pick us up some lunch. And I'll bring it. Let's just have lunch. So I said, okay. So she said, okay. When I get there, she's so busy. I stopped by this place in Chicago, and I got us some really nice, juicy salads. And I brought her a big salad and me a big salad and some hibiscus tea, cold tea drinks. And she was so busy that she didn't have time to sit down. So she gives me an envelope and said, girl, I was thinking about you. And God told me to give you this to you when I was in church 2 weeks ago, and I've been meaning to call you. But since you called me and stopped by here, she gave me an envelope. And so I gave her the salad, and I told her, girl, just call me later. So I get in the car, I open up the envelope. It's this long letter, girl, about how much she loves and appreciates me. But at the end of the letter was a check for $4,500. God had told her to give me that 2 weeks ago. Even before I knew I wasn't going to get no unemployment, God had already activated the process. You see, when I was down to nothing, God was still up to something, stirring up the stuff. I didn't know that call was going to turn into that when Miriam called me to say, girl, did you see what Tammy put on Facebook about you? And I said, mm-mm. Because I didn't even open up Facebook. She knew I wasn't no Facebook person, and she called me, right? So I called Tammy. You see how it all was lined up, and each person was strategically placed by God. Oprah leaving. Tammy feeling some kind of way about it, posted on Facebook. Miriam reads it, calls me because God knew I wasn't going to open up Facebook. And instead of going to Facebook, I just called her and say, girl, I heard what you said, God, and just say thank you. And it turned into me resulting in how God had already lined up how I was going to pay. And it's interesting because I only had a couple of more payments on the Mercedes, and I just had 4 more payments on the IRS, and not only did God give me enough to pay those things, you see, God is not a God just enough. God is a more than enough kind of God. That's why I love Ephesians 3:20. That's why I pray and bless my day each day to be an Ephesians 3:20 kind of day, because God will give you more than you ever think, ask, or match. That's why I love only time I ever went to the Essence Empowerment Workshop was the time Oprah came on the stage because Ayanna was sick. And I come because I wanted to see Ayanna, but I got more than I could ever think, ask, or imagine. Oprah walks out speaking phenomenal woman. And the first thing after the poem she says is, family, I'm living the dream. Now, I want you to hear this clearly. She didn't say I'm living my dream. She said I'm living the dream. She said, I'm not living the dream because I'm special. Come on, family, I want you to hear this, and I want you to marinate on this. She said, I'm living the dream not because I'm special, but because I was obedient to the call, family. Come on now. I'm gonna let you marinate on that. I want you to breathe that in. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to say it again. She came out, and Oprah is very statuous, meaning she got one of them kind of Coca-Cola shaped bodies, right? She walks out on stage with this beautiful red dress fitting every curve with some beautiful pumps. And she walks out on stage speaking the phenomenal woman poem. Phenomenal woman. Phenomenally. Yes. And then she starts with family. I'm living the dream. The dream. Not my dreams, the dreams. Not because I'm special, but because I was obedient to the call. Breathe that in, family. Now let's break that down. When we think about the dream, she's not talking about Oprah's dream, because see, God had a bigger dream than what Oprah had for herself. Oprah wanted a house with six trees. That was her big dream. So you see, if Oprah could have got a house with six trees, that was her big dream. Six trees, I mean, that was her big dream. That was her big dream. But God said, honey, when she was standing in that house in Baltimore, when one of her first major interviews with a lady who in her mind was rich, trees in this big picture window this lady had, standing in her living room, she had six trees. And Oprah, all Oprah wanted was a house with six trees. But let me tell you, when you live the dream, Oprah's dream would have been six trees. But the dream said, I'm going to give you 3,683 trees. Now, that's a big dream. Because, see, God can dream a bigger dream than the dream that you have for yourself. You see, the dream that God has for you is bigger than your dream. And that's what Oprah was saying. She was saying, I'm not living the dream because I'm special. That means she's not living the dream that you can't do for yourself. It's not that you can't have this, the dream, but it was because she was obedient to the call. What is the call? The call is the purpose. The call is what your soul is urging to be. The call is what your soul says, I came to the planet to exhibit as my God self on the planet. You see, your soul is the blueprint of what you came to the planet to be. It's your soul's urging. It's your soul urging to be standing in the light. It's the voice that you are really standing and still being afraid to speak. See, you can't live a dream and not have a voice. You can't live the dream and play small. You can't live the dream and keep thinking that you're less than, not worthy, and not deserving. You can't live the dream if you're not obedient to the call. Because the call makes you who you are uniquely, unapologetically. And you don't need nobody else's permission to stand in your dream. We keep giving other people what they say. I posted on Facebook yesterday. Why do we keep giving blind people our dream and asking them to proofread our vision? Come on, somebody. Come on, Nat. Why? Why do we expect people who are blind to see our vision and then want them to proofread it? What does that really mean? That means we want their permission. We want somebody to validate what God has told us to be our truth. Now, how somebody else outside of you going to validate what God already told you? Why do you need somebody else's permission to be great? Why do you need somebody else to tell you and validate you when you already know who's and what you are? I want you to think about that. You asking somebody else who is blind to validate your vision. To validate your vision. We keep inviting people to our table who don't even belong to be there just because of our insecurities. We got to stop asking blind people to proofread our vision. We got to stop inviting insecure people who don't belong at our table to our table because of our own insecurities. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Stop asking blind people to proofread your vision. See, it takes a certain kind of visionary to walk through that, what I call a divine storm. It takes a certain kind of visionary to, no matter what's happening, know that God still is, no matter what.
You see, no matter what was happening and no matter how many pieces were falling apart, I knew God was calling me to a greater version of myself. Let me say that again. I knew God was calling me to a greater version of myself, even though, guess what? Some of it is because I tried to interrupt the process. God was calling me higher, and I was calling myself back because I didn't have a six-figure job no more. I was interrupting the process. God said, speak to the rock, and I kept trying to strike the rock like Moses. You see, God was calling Moses higher. But Moses kept trying to do it the default way, the way he used to do it, just like I did. God kept telling me to clean that desk out and throw away all those RFPs. RFP is request for proposals. I was a director for Chicago Housing Authority, and I was over all the proposals and putting implementing contracts. And so I wanted to keep my model in case I got back into that, or if I wanted to put together a proposal for something, I kept trying to hold on to it. And God kept telling me to throw that stuff away because I wasn't going to need it again. But guess what? I would go through that desk and throw half the stuff away. Do it again, throw half of the stuff that I already threw away. And still today, yeah, probably a couple of things in there that still need to be thrown away because fear was making me hold on in case I needed to go back. Some doggone paper. Clear out that clutter. Now I got to keep this stuff in case I need it. But what I come to understand, the clutter has a divine message. And you know what that divine message said to me? Clutter is another form of lack. Yeah, you come to this beautiful place. People call my home beautiful because they say it looks like a body of art, and it does. I mean, I have artwork, beautiful pieces from all around the world, Africa, China, you name it, it's beautiful artworks from all around the world. Handmade pieces, Paris, from places my children have gone. Even got artwork from my own children. But let me just tell you this. Underneath all of that, you go in them drawers and that desk, it was too much paper. You go on that back porch with stuff that the kids had when they were little, all the way from college, back porch was just filled with stuff that was not being used. And God kept saying, get rid of the clutter. And what I learned in my meditation, clutter was just another form of lack. So you hold on thinking you won't have enough, which takes you back to that one little thing that we talked about the other day. It all came from the same root, not enough. Oh, and guess what? How we do anything is how we do everything. I was holding on to that not enough energy all the way, even through the love journey. Oh, I was playing the Not Enough Love song in so many ways. I was winning platinum album awards for Not Enough song. I might still be winning. I'm just not number one no more. It's still there, but I'm working through it. Because I kept interrupting the process. When I was laid off, I should have been preparing for expansion. But the first thing I did was cut back because I went into fear mode. All right, we don't need cable. We didn't really ever have cable, so I didn't cut back, okay? But we had the extra home phone, so I cut that off. No, we don't need to pay that bill. And start trimming, looking at ways to trim instead of looking at ways to expand and use my gifts and talents to make room for me so that the Holy Spirit would take me before these great people that the promise that I was told. I didn't have enough faith at that time to stand on the promise, so I still had fear. Fear that I wasn't going to have enough, and fear that it wasn't enough. And it was always about enough. But you see, when you go through a crisis, a hard time, a moment of pain, there's always, and I do always mean a breakthrough on the other side. And see, just past the breakthrough, the new awareness, the new inevitable aha moment that you've been searching for comes redemption. Come on, family. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. See, we live in a universe that specializes in redemption. We need not worry. We need not assume the worst, but rather make our aim to surrender to the will. That's what Oprah Winfrey was talking about. Oprah was saying surrender to the calling. He said, instead of me trying to make the divine make sense,
I had to release the need to know why things were happening as they do and step into the trust. That's why when I asked Holy Spirit, what was faith? Spirit said to me, trusting in the process of the unknown. See, my question shouldn't have been, why was these things happening as they do, but to step in and trust that I was being guided every moment and that God would never leave me nor forsake me and that nothing was happening to me, that it was happening for me to build my faith muscle. I began to understand why the children of Israel had to have that wilderness experience. And see, as many churches I had gone to and as many times I had heard the story in church, I never understood the wilderness experience. I didn't understand why we couldn't just cross over to Jordan right into the promised land, because we had to build a faith muscle. See, something different happens in your faith when you have to depend on a known source for an unknown direction. Let me say that again in clear English. If something happens different when you start walking in a path, trusting in a known presence in an unknown direction. It's like getting in a car in the dark with no map and not knowing which way to go, but knowing that something inside you is directing you. And I just love how the universe operates, because even though I was walking in that path in the dark, I didn't have to have a whole lot of faith. I didn't even have to have a whole lot of belief. God just said, if you take the first step, we'll work the rest through it. And God, so it's so amazing that if you do take the first step, if you just have enough courage to take the first step, even with the blind, I never forget my friends. I love my friends because my friends love me. They follow me to the end of the world and come back with me. And I love it. So I want to go to Detroit. Now, Detroit is 5 hours away from here. And it was a day trip. I wanted to go see Kim, because every year Kim does this concert on Mac and Fifth Street. And Mac and Fifth Street represents a big thing for Kim. Kim was a drug addict who was homeless, and he used to sleep on Mac and Fifth. Mac and Fifth is where he got inspired to get up off the homeless ground underneath that viaduct and go get him a bed in a homeless shelter. So every year he does this concert, and how you get into the concert, you have to bring canned goods for him to feed the homeless. So you have to bring some gifts for the homeless people, and he takes it to the shelter to feed the homeless, and whatever other gifts you give, that's the way to get into the concert. So usually he has a big lineup. Like this year, the year we went, it was Kim, the featured artist. It was Frankie Beverly and Maze, and the guy who sang Ocean. I can't think of the name, his name right now. You know the song, My Ship Has Finally Come. I can't think of it. He's from Detroit, too. So all these, it was a big lineup, amazing lineup, and so all my friends get with me. We get our food together. We got our everything, and we drive up to Michigan. So at the end of the concert, we're driving back home, and I'm the one who was designated to drive back home. And let me tell you, it was raining cats. Oh, it was raining cats and dogs. But let me tell you what it was worse about the rain. It was foggy and dark, and you could not see one. You couldn't even see your spin in front of you. You couldn't see nothing. It was so dark on that road home. And everybody in the car was asleep. I was like thinking to myself, I can't believe they is asleep in this road. I can't see nothing. I got both my hands on the wheel praying, because I can't, if it's a car in front of me, I would hit it because I can't see. If a car gets stopped in front of me, I can't see it. It's so dark and foggy. And see, like in Chicago, the one thing about Chicago, even when it's kind of foggy, we had these paint lines that kind of light up, that kind of keeps you a little bit where you can see. Well, on the way home from Michigan to Chicago, I could not see a thing in front of me. It was like I was driving in a black hole. And that's where I felt like my life was at that point in life. It was a representation. And let me tell you, God gives you the most profound things to symbolize what's happening in your life. I held that steering wheel so tight, literally, when I got to the light point where we could see and everybody was starting to get in their own cars, my hands literally hurt. My arms literally hurt because I didn't realize I was holding on to the steering wheel so tight. I was bent over the steering wheel trying to see if I could see anything because I did not want to get into an accident. And when I got through and I got home and I prayed and thanked God for the opportunity to still be alive. See, I don't even think not one person in that car understood what was happening because they were asleep. But when I got home and I just went to a profuse gratitude, thanking God, God said this to me. God said, faith is the trust in the process of the unknown. He said, you're gripping too hard on life, just where you was gripping on that steering wheel. You see, I was clutching on to that. You see why your hands hurt, your arms hurt, your life hurt? Because you're holding on too tight. You need to get out your way and trust that I got you. I guided you all the way home in that dark space where you couldn't see a thing. I kept you protected even when you couldn't see what was in front of you. You don't even know what could have happened if I wasn't there to protect you. And you didn't have the trust to know that I was there. Now, if you really want to do this thing, you got to trust that I'm here with you always and that I will never leave nor forsake you. And so today I want you to think about, no matter if you're in that divine storm or if you're in the place where you feel a little bit on top of the mountain, are you really trusting in the process? Are you really trusting in that inner presence? Are you really trusting? And some of you all might be in that divine storm, but I want to say to you, surrender. Instead of trying to make sense, instead of trying to make the divine make sense, release the need to know why things are happening as they do and step in the trust that you are being guided in every moment, every second of the day. And we choose to believe that we're going through now is preparing us for what we desire. Remember, what's happening for you to you in this right now moment is for you, and it's the answer to your prayer. See, I wanted to step in my gifts and talents. I wanted to live life on purpose. I didn't realize being called away from that job, being laid off was a call to my answer. I didn't realize because it didn't look the way I wanted it to look. See, my idea was having my money, being able to go to yoga, meditation, travel the world, find God on top of the Shamik Mountains and all this beautiful stuff. And I'm not saying none of that is not beautiful, family. I'm saying sometimes you're not called to do it that way. And I know that was not my way that God was calling me. You see, I had to go through just enough to realize I was more than enough. You see, God kept me fed just enough so that I could keep knowing that I was more than enough. At the time, I didn't understand it. Every day God was providing my needs. What did he tell the children of Israel? You can come and get manna from heaven. Just take what you need for the day. Why, God? I never heard a preacher or anybody say why he called the children of Israel just for enough for manna for that. And on Saturday, get enough for Saturday and Sunday. And anything over that was spoiled. I'm like, what does that mean? But my life showed me what that means. You see, we got to go through this period where we got to shed that old, and in shedding that old, God is going to provide for you in the wilderness just enough to get through, because each day I had to go to God for my daily bread because I didn't know where my daily bread was going to come from. You see, when God dries everything up for you, when I was going through my famine experience, I was learning that God will provide for me every day, and that God truly was my source. I wasn't just talking it no more. See, I was getting on the line every day waiting on that check, that $4,000-$5,000 check every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. I was waiting on it, and plus my bonus. Yeah, God is my source. It was easy to get on this line and say God was my source of my unlimited supply when I was getting them checks every 2 weeks and bonuses coming out every month because I met and exceeded my expectations. It was it was easy to come to this land with 20 grand in my account, 40 grand in my savings account, having all kinds of stocks, money here, money there, everywhere, money everywhere, but still having a lack consciousness. See, I didn't even understand that you could have plenty of money and still have a lack consciousness. I was getting on this line every morning. God is the source of my unlimited supply. And after being laid off, and then when things start drying up and everything was starting to, okay, well, that account is no more in that account, okay? No more in this account, because I had like 4 or 5 different accounts, right? And nothing was in none of those accounts one day. I was like, wow, what am I going to do? So when I tell you when you're down to nothing, God is always up to something, I mean that. When I tell you that God doesn't need our help, God just need our permission, I mean that. You see, when I started to get out my own way, with no belief that I had the ability to speak, but I know I was being called to do it, and okay, well, let me get up here and do it. Whew, the people want me to speak. I remember one time standing in front of a whole group of people. I had on the prettiest little black and white dress. I had on pretty little tights and these amazing shoes I had bought in Las Vegas. And I stood in front of the people with one leg up, holding the heel of my shoe. And I say to myself, every time I think about that, talking to the people. But see, it's so good about how God do what God do. Because nobody said anything about it. It was just that I knew that my physical presentation wasn't representing who I knew I should be. So instead of trying to make the divine make sense, again, I'm going to remind you right now, release the need to know why things are happening as they do and step in the trust that you're being guided. You're not being punished. You're being prepared. Prepared for more love. Prepared for more impact. You're being prepared to inspire change in others. You're being prepared for more awareness. You're being prepared for the dream, family, not my dream, your dream, the dream, because the dream that God has for you is bigger than the dream than you probably have for yourself. It's bigger. When we step into the sweet unknown, we can release the thoughts of pending doom or life falling apart. We can choose to believe that when life falls apart, it's not over, but rather the energy is moving, changing, shifting to reflect the change that's happening in the inner world. We need not fear the change, but embrace them with the feelings of sweet surrender that the Creator knows what's best for me, that the Creator knows what's best for you. In doing so, we can begin to find peace within transition. We can begin to bring meaning within loss, and we can find recovery within our additions. You are being prepared, family. So what no longer serves you is being removed from your life. New life and a new power is coming to you. And at first it may not make sense, but soon you will know why things had to be the way they were. Until then, assume the best. And don't stop the miracle in progress. Come on, family. Somebody needs to tweet that out. Don't stop the miracle in progress. That's my message for today. Any comments, questions, concern, press 1 on Blog Talk, star 6 on teleconference line. Know that I love you, family, and this message was meant from you, from my lips to your heart today, family. Somebody's been called higher. Somebody's been called higher. You might be in a divine storm, but let me tell you, family, that divine storm is just an opportunity for growth. And I thank God for my divine storm. Because even in my divine storm of not enough, I learned that I was more than enough. I was more than enough. I was more than enough. I am more than enough, family. It's interesting when I brought Queen of Four to Chicago. And it's just funny how it all happened. I'm sitting up here. I had prayed that I wanted to do something with Queen of Soul. So I get a call. I love you, baby.
I love you, too.
Have a good day. And I said, I get a call from the East Coast. And one of the ladies called me. She said, I want to stay with you, Janine, because Queen of Soul is going to be out there, and I want to see if I could stay with you and I could do Queen of Four's workshop. I said, Queen of Four coming to Chicago? She said, no, she coming to Michigan. I said, girl, you won't make it if you stay here with me because I'm 5 hours away from Detroit. She said, oh. So, but I said, you know what? I'll pay for the room. I'll get a room up there, and we could just go ahead and we could be with Queen. I want to do Queen of Four too, right? So she puts Queen of Four on the line and blah, blah, blah. What happened? I was getting ready to send my money. But Queen of Four called back and said the lady in Detroit couldn't get enough people, so they wasn't going to do it because Queen of Four had to have a certain amount of people in order to do the event. I was like, cool, okay. So then they tried to. Then the girl who called me tried to do it in Washington, D.C., Maryland, D.V. area, Virginia, and she couldn't get enough people. So Queen of Four called me back and said, well, don't send your money because they can't get enough people either. Then they both called me with this bright idea. Well, why don't we do it in Chicago? And Miss Happy Janine, yay, let's do it. And honey, did I know that this was going to be a lesson for me? Oh, my God. And guess what? Queen of Four coming to Chicago, I just thought, wow, this is going to be amazing. The ladies are going to want to do it. The people on the Love Journey are going to be excited. And nobody really knew who Queen of Four was on the line. And then I said, well, that's okay. Somebody out here knows. So I started calling people, letting people know Queen of Four. And Holly, nobody that I knew Queen of Four. And nobody said they wanted to pay no $500 to see Queen of Four. So I'm like thinking to myself, okay, what have I got myself in? I got one person to sign up. You had to have 20 people in order for Queen to show up, right? So now I'm feeling like, okay, people calling me saying they want to do it, but they don't have enough money. So I called my spiritual mentor and my feelings and everything. She listens to me. I love her. She's so much like me. And she says to me in her quiet wisdom and her loving energy, well, if those women don't have their money, they don't have enough, where are you feeling not enough? What? How them not having money is my experience in me. Now, come on, Janine, you teach this every day. This is what I'm saying to myself, but I don't want to look at myself because I just want what I want. I want it right now. I need some money, and I need them people to come on, and I need this stuff to happen because we got this big old five-bedroom condo overlooking the lake that we're going to be in. We need to put money down. We got to have food for the whole weekend because we're going to be shutting in from Thursday to Tuesday, and with Queen of Four, so every day we got to have all this stuff, and so I need these people to give me their money. So she said to me, well, you're not enough again. So now I'm quieting myself down, and I'm saying, where am I not enough? Where in my psyche do I feel not enough? And so every day she gets up with me, and we pray, and I work on my not enough energy. And so four people sign up. Then the fifth person sign up. Then the sixth person sign up. And then we get a breakdown. Queen of Four has brung in a new secretary. The secretary comes in and she thinks energy. Now, I get along with most people. It's very seldom that I don't get along with most people because I'm just one of those kind of people that I just really get along. I'm very seldom not get along with people. But it was just something about her energy that was just, she didn't always tell the truth. She was telling Queen of Four stuff that wasn't truthful. And I was getting very energetically upset. I was mad. I was angry with this lady. So, of course, you know, that's going to cut the flow. And then I had to stop. I go back to my spiritual mentor. She said, what in you is interrupting the energy that's causing you to reflect in this lady who is disturbing your energy? Now I got to do this, all this inner work that I didn't want to do. All I wanted to do was just give Queen of Four my money, just show up. I didn't want to do all this work. All I wanted to do was just give her my money, show up. Why did I say I was going to do this, right? So I got to go back in and do this work because this lady is irritating the out of me to the nth degree. She loud, she obnoxious, she don't tell the truth. I don't understand how Queen of Four has this lady. And so I got to do this work. Now I got to go back in to ask, what is this lady reflecting in me? Because really, she's really getting on my nerves. She really interrupting the good flow that me and Queen had. Why did Queen bring her in right now? Why she couldn't come later? This is what I'm thinking. But I had to do the work. So now I got to do some more work. I'm working on this not enough energy. But that not good enough energy somewhere was operating bigger now. We got 5 people. We need 15 more people to show up. And I got to do some more work because we're getting closer and closer to the day. And so I go in and I do this meditation work. But let me tell you what's really interesting, what I learned. We got to stop putting people on pedestals. There should never be a bigger God than you. See, to me, at that time, Queen of Fool was bigger than life. I had read all her books. She had introduced me to my womb. And I was, and even though, don't get me wrong, she's still amazing, phenomenal, and wonderful. But what God showed me is she was just a reflection of who I was. I am Queen of Fool, and Queen of Fool is me. She wasn't bigger than me. I'm not bigger than her. But for some reason, I had placed her on this pedestal. Like we all do, you know. We put Oprah's on pedestals, Tyler Perry's, and I've done it. And God told me even when I was in Oprah's space that I was Oprah, Oprah was me. Else I wouldn't have been in her space. Now I haven't reflected the energy of the money that she's been able to materialize, but she was still me and I was still her. God said, don't put people on pedestals. There's no bigger God than you. She wasn't bigger than me. I wasn't bigger than her. But that was what I had to learn. And what happens is when, and you know, Dr. Dennis Kimball told me that, because when the first time I was able to bring Dr. Dennis Kimball, not a couple of years ago, but the few years before that, you know what Dr. Dennis Kimball told me when I got on that phone and I was super excited? He told me, but why are you so super excited when I am you and you are me? And he told me, check your energy. You're not less than. And I said, wow. And so I had to realize who I was and what I was. I had to step and own my power. And I was able to pull 20 more women, magnetize that energy, and bring Queen of Fool here. But it was work stretching and growing I had to do, because everything is a reflection of my inner self. And everybody who knows me knows that I don't quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to win. I don't care what happens. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Not in the sense of competitive, but I mean, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do everything in my power to bring it to fruition. And Queen of Four, and I laughed about it afterwards, after I was able to have my conversation about her secretary, and, you know, because I'm one of those kind of people that's in my heart, I got to talk about it. I'm not going to hold on to it. And then we can work through it, love through it, and you can, if I'm wrong, then you can help me grow. And if you're wrong, I pray I can help you grow, and we can grow through the process. And that's what happened with me and Queen of Four. And I love the work that I had to do to get there. I had to expand. I had to grow. I had to see myself bigger. I had to believe that I was worthy of doing something of that magnitude in my mind. Because to me, Queen of Four was my Oprah. She was bigger than life to me. But Queen was just, when we got through with the workshops and we went to the King Spa, we hung up, went to the show, we ate green juice, drank green juice together. It was powerful. Because the lesson I learned in that is that I'm already more than enough. I don't need to do a thing differently. And so I pray this message reminds you today that you are already more than enough. You are already more than enough. Thank you for tuning in today to The Love Journey. I don't know if I gave anybody the opportunity to come in. I call myself talking through. If you want to come in, press 1 on Blog Talk. *6 if you're on teleconference line. They say I don't give people enough time, so I'm working through it. Okay, it don't take that long to press 1 and *6. It's in my mind, right? All right, family, I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice, family, and remember, family, don't just dream. Live your God-sized dreams, your Ephesians 3:20 dreams, family. I love you, and I'm excited about where we're all going, and I see some really great things happening for each and every one of you all. So today, family, just keep on keeping on. All right. All right, but I'm going to leave you with Let's see what we should play here today. I'm going to play some Layla Hathaway, y'all. Layla Hathaway is coming to Chicago with my man, y'all, with Will Downing. And guess who got some front row seats? Woo! So I'm going to leave you with Layla Hathaway. Breathe, and just breathe. Have a good night.
Thank you.